Modric and Chinua looked beautiful, some wasn't. We're going to start in Simon Kuf Tadik Aleph, Sif Gimel, and then work backwards from there. Also, last is Melocha Ba'idim Melocha. One may not do Melocha while one is benched. Because it turns benching into a casual instead of serious affair. Now, if you look Tashmish Kal, also lasses, and even a very minor thing, which does not need concentration, to move something from one place to the other on a table, which really doesn't need much concentration, is prohibited. It's certainly not to do something which takes careful attention. The course of a taz, it's even inappropriate to learn in the middle of Birchas Hamazon. It shows that it's a trivial affair, and therefore it's disrespectful. Then he adds the following: is in effect the most egregious violation because it's a dindaraisa. But who I think the shaysi b'tfila, or the ezer brocha acheres, the one may not be preoccupied even slightly with something else. And this is a very sharp statement that he quotes. And this is included, the Taz writes, in that which the Torah stated in the Teichara, when Telchu imli carry. That is why you are mitzvahs that lay no atara mikra b'zdam nesdam. This shouldn't be just things happen to be doing a mitzvah now. That's come on approach to avoid this Hashem. Now, how far this goes? Now, first of all, the Chofetz Chaim adds two caveats here, which are important. First is warning Isaac beis a mitzvah. The yasa goes with over achas. Any time a person doing any mitzvah shouldn't be doing anything else. Forget a bracha. It's true equally of all mitzvahs. But nevertheless, he writes in the Kamakum, but the Yevit, the Shabarak, the Shoya Osud, if he violated it, nevertheless, it's Yotso. The Logoram Yishikr is not worse than a person that was somewhat inebriated. The Halacha deals with drunkenness at two levels. There's a drunk who parallels light in the Torah. So if he's Shikruz or Shaloit, it's considered a Shaita. He just doesn't know, he's totally wasted. Right? He doesn't know what's going on with him at all. That person's a shaita. Anything that he does has no halachic significance. If he did a mitzvah in that state, he's not yotze the mitzvah. But then there's a second level of shikr, which particularly affects tefillah, and that is if there's any yochel adav lufnei hamelech. He's not 100% clear headed. It's not the time that one would demand to conduct a delicate negotiation. Because one realizes that one's faculties are somewhat dulled. So that type of shikr, though, if he doesn't mitzvah, it's yotzik. That's what he says, the logorim is shikr. The shikr also is not playing with a full deck. So a person that's distracted is also lacking something. But nevertheless, he's yotzik. Now how far for machmir not to make a hefsek, we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch. Generally speaking, we have the following halachas: that during Birchas Kriya Shema, or depending in between the prokem, during the prokem, but other than in the pasuk of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Haleil Avod, the din of the Gemara that if a person extended Shalom Aleichem, one was allowed to end Shalom Aleichem Shalom. It's not our practice to do so, but a person mitzvah the din of the Gemara, a person was allowed to answer. In Shmona Esrei, a person was not allowed to answer. So the question is, where do we put benching? In which category? Benching goes with Birchas Kriya Shema, which themselves are pretty significant in terms of not making a hefsek. Or Birchas Kriya Shema, or Birchas Hamazon goes together with Tefillah. What do we classify it? Now, rather surprisingly, we find Leinian lishol bebrachas amotzim nei ayirom nei akovet. Yesh mishayim mesh dino ketfilo. There are those that say that dino ketfilo. Now it's interesting. It means the Shulchan Aruch did not quote anyone else that disagreed about it. That means it's the halacha, except he only found it in one pasuk, so he writes Yesh Mishayim. That's the derech of the Shulchan Aruch. So he writes Shadino Ketfilo, Shain Shoyalin and Meshivin Klal, that one may not make any interruption at all. And what's the reason for this? That Birchas HaMozen we see Chazal treated in a very stringent fashion. That Shmon Esrei, as one has to stand in one place. One is L'chadchila not allowed to walk around. But the Yevet, if one walked around, one is Yaitse Shmon Esrei, even if he was marching around on his davening. But the L'chadchila, one has to stay in one place. And we find that by Birchas HaMozen the same thing, that it has to be done in one place. As soon as one finished Ma'a Yisrael Baruch Shem, one could walk. After that Pasuk, one could walk around. And therefore, since we see that Chazal treated Birchas HaMozen as stringently as tefillah, that one should not move around. So similarly, the halacha states that one should not make any interruption. When we see Masa Poskim Mashma, and from the fact that the Poskim do not make any differentiation whatsoever between the third brach, the first three brachas and the fourth bracha, and that despite the fact that we hold the halacha, the Gemara brings many proofs to it, that Birchas HaTova made there was Midr Rabbanon. Nevertheless, since the Poskim did not differentiate Mashma, the Gambir Brocha Revias Avshim Midr Rabbanon Tzarech Leishiv, you have to sit still, okay, Chodulah L'Zazulei, but that it should not become denigrated as a minor part of Birchas HaMozen. So therefore the same din apparently applies, that one may not answer at all to anyone. So here we have that in terms of how careful one has to be in Birchas HaMozen, not to be distracted, one has to be as careful as one is during Shmon Esrei. This is halacha, it's a very significant halacha, but not a very widely known halacha, of how careful one has to be in Birchas HaMozen, yes.
Well, we do many mitzvahs, and it seems to me that there are many we do, that we're allowed to interrupt, to say something to someone else, or so forth. Why
the
doctor in this mitzvah are we not allowed
into
interrupt?
The simple answer is probably twofold. First of all, it's a mitzvah deraisa. That's number one. Now, we usually don't interrupt in the middle of doing any mitzvah deraisa with anything. You know, I don't know where we would, you know, interrupt, that it would be a real interruption in the midst of doing the mitzvah. He might stop at something else, but I mean, normally most mitzvahs deraisa do not take a very lengthy amount of time. That we, you know, usually when eating matzah or shaking the lulu and esrog, they're not going to make a hefsek. That's number one. Secondly, hadar is a very, very significant aspect mitzvah. It's a bracha deraisa and it's a bracha of hadar. So that could also be part of the reason why they treat it as a tefillah. But the fact that it's categorized as tefillah is something that's very, very shocking to most people. It's not an association. Intuitively, we would not have imagined that Birchas HaMozen should be more stringent halachically than Birchas Kriya Shema. So we would have seemed quite reasonable to classify it with Birchas Kriya Shema. And yet the Shulchan Aruch, which is in Kuf Pei Gimel, Sif Ches, tells us that it has the same halacha as tefillah. Now, the Shulchan Aruch continues. So Rabbi Gveiger tied it to the next halacha that one is mechuyev, since one is mechuyev to sit, therefore we see they treat it as tefillah as far as staying still, so as far as any hefsek. So the Shulchan Aruch continues. Tzorach leishe b'shoshem avorech, one has to sit down as the time he's making a bracha. whether he was walking around in his house when he ate, or omed, or standing still, or masiv, or reclining. When it comes time for birchas hamazon, the person has to sit, not to recline, not to walk, not to stand, so that he should be able to focus better. Nor should he be reclining at such a time. Why should derech gaiva? That's a way of a person being very haughty. One is, I'm addressing the Rabbeinu Shalom now. It's not a time to sit back in a very haughty fashion. Eliyashim be'emor, one should sit in a manner which reflects respect of the Shechilah. That a remark goes on, nearly the lavdaf gam of orach. This is not only the one that's making the bracha, elohu adin kolom asubim, lo yei shvu b'kalas roish, all those that are listening, the Rabbi Yechassam was, I mean, yeti, let's say, this is Zeman, so being yeti, the first bracha with him, the ones that are listening too, should also be careful not to sit in a frivolous fashion, elohim, v'yum lo osakeit, if we didn't fulfill the letter of this halacha, Avilu beirach mahalach, even if one benched on the fly, is b'diyevet yotzo, b'diyevet is yotzo. Well, let's see the Chofetz Chaim here. Who I didn't call him a suba. The kevin the kulam yotzim rebechoso, since I'm being yotzim with shomea kaina, so therefore tzrichim leishe be'emak ha'morach atzmo, it's the same halachically as if I made the bracha. There's no difference between the one that recites the bracha, the one that's being yotzim. Even the recitation, what's the point of the recitation that he's being yotzim? And the truth is, he probably has an advantage. He's at least the one that's reciting it. The listener, all he has is his listening. He doesn't have the added measure of his own recitation. He certainly should have to be careful.
Does it apply only to those who are being yotzim?
Well, there is something else, you know, that you are, perhaps you're alluding to it. The Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, I'm not going to say this over exactly as he said it, it would be too sharp, it would be inappropriate for me to repeat it the way that he said it. You know, someone of his godless, you know, has the right to put it that way. Sorry, I should have closed that. They Rishonim describe a person, who's treated in a very disrespectful fashion, in a very gross and disrespectful fashion. They give such a... They give a moshel. The moshel will leave out. Chaim Shmulevitz didn't leave out the moshel, but I'll leave out the moshel. But in a very gross and disrespectful fashion, in about as tawdry a fashion as they could treat another person. So he said, people think, you know, if you'd ask people, what are they guilty of such a thing? Have you ever act that way towards another person? So he said, if you ask me, he said, they're guilty of it. Why, he said? He says, if a person is sitting and learning Musa, and next to him another person is conducting a conversation, he says, it's no less disrespectful than the gross disrespectful actions that the Rishonim are talking about, which are very, very gross. That was his statement. Now, the same is true in a certain measure when it comes to the recitation of Birchas Hamazon. I guess the camps and the schools have it right. You know, in life we have to learn from everyone, but I think they have it right. Because when they recite Birchas Hamazon, everyone has to bench together, and even out loud. But I'm not talking about the part that's out loud, but everyone has to bench together. There is a big mile in everyone benching together. Because when everyone's benching together, you don't have half the people talking about who knows what. You know, sometimes you go some places, and half the people are benching, and some of the people are not up to benching yet, whatever reason, they didn't finish the meal yet, they're not ready to bench, whatever the reason, excuses are right on that benching. So, for some people, that's a very good time to continue kind of carrying on the conversations. But it's really very, very highly disrespectful of the people that are reciting a bracha such as Birchas Hamazon. Remember as a child, my father, Lo Hashalom, saying, He says, how can a person think of davening in the house? He says, davening in the house, how are you going to get away from the noise? And if somebody else wants to put on the radio, what are you going to do about it? So how are you going to have the silence to daven like a bench? So we need to have to be very, very careful. This is very, very often not as observant as it should be. They have their courage for the other people that are benching. And so here we're talking about that even those that are being yotzei, they have to sit, you know, they can't recline. The ones that are not being yotzei don't have this restriction, but they do have the restriction that they have to act with their charis to the people that are being yotzei to the mitzvah. So this is a very, very important point, a very overlooked point. Now, he writes the following, that whether one was marching around in the house, now, that one has to sit down. He says, the mahalach b'derach, if one was walking on the road, that's a whole different halacha. We're not dealing with that. So if a person would just, you know, some people can't sit still. You know, even in yeshiva, there's some people that can't sit still. They have to, you know, they can't manage to sit down. You know, they're always running around, you know, in the bike, they're on the move. But such a person, when it comes to benching, you know, he has to sit down. Okay, now he writes the following. We're all, the heads will be stopped. So even if one made this, recited the Birchas HaMazon while he wasn't sitting in Yotze B'Yavin, we're presuming that he benched in the place that he ate. Suppose he marched off somewhere else, he was in Beirach and he made the Birchas HaMazon there, there's Yesh Deyos B'Zeh, which we will see the common in Simukuf Beidalat Tzipalach Bagor, that sometimes he may not even be Yotze altogether, as he marched out of the place where he ate. We'll come back to that. Now we follow the Shulchan Aruch with another halacha, which is not well known. Yesh Aimrim Shagam Birchas Me'ein Sholosh Tzorach L'Omra Miyusha. That the bracha, the long bracha achrayna, has to be recited sitting. Now there are those Rishaylim Rishaylim, if it's Midiraisim Midirabon, that bracha. There are those Rishaylim that hold the Me'ein Sholosh Midiraisim. Ayem Bibir Agrosh, Tola Dimzim Mashmavu, the Kamatsif Kum Kuf Pedalat of Gimel. Ramashu Baldeas, who also the Shitosha, or the Fiza, the Chamesha Smile Dogim Akoponim, at least if one eats something made of the five species of grain, whether cake, pasta, etc., is the Kuliamatar of Leo Staff to Broch Ahoyna Shalahim Yeshiva. And one certainly has to be seated in that case. But there is a day he acknowledges that says it would only apply to pas, but the grove was machri against that. So certainly, at least for Birchas HaMazon and for Alamichya, for those two brochas, one is Mechatchil is supposed to sit down.
But downstairs, when we have a Kiddush and Shabbos, usually there's no seat there, but there's a seat in the outer room.
You can't really do that. You can schlep it unless you want to schlep the chair.
Or maybe there's something that's not even a chair there. So should you lean against the wall? Is that
I don't know. That, I wouldn't say so. I would presume if you don't have any seats, so that's it. So then you have to stand. But the cold one, you're able to sit, you should sit.
Usually not. I guess. But that's behind the thing.
It's not always so easy, depending on when you leave, how many people are there. Yir Alev. Suppose a person was walking along the road and he was eating as he went. He doesn't have to stop or the baruch to recite the Birchas HaMazon. It's very interesting because what did he say is the reason for sitting down?
To concentrate.
Now, what happens if you're traveling and you stop?
You're thinking of
get on with the trip. You know, you can't stop. So if you can't drive a car, that's one thing. But if you're walking by foot. So if you're going to stop, so now you're getting nervous because you're not moving. You say, "Daitum yishevus alav." A traveler is not at peace when he's standing still. You just see what happens when the lights turn green in New York, and you realize the travelers are not at peace when the lights when they can't move. Lamed vav. Mishadagim Yishevas Halok. In Yeshiv, it will sit in Yeshiv, Yikshav Einov Yichor Darko. Because the fact that it's being delayed or disturbing, Bilo Yuchal Lechav and Yofa, and he will not be able to have proper Kavona. The whole point is to increase his Kavona. If we get on his nerves, so that's going to decrease his Kavona. That will probably also be the Mahalach Moai by Tfilas Aderach, that the person doesn't have to stop to recite it. Chumrah, it's better if one does stop, but by Tfilas Aderach, one is not Mechoyev to stop. One's traveling. I presume the reason is the same reason there.
I usually say it actually while driving.
Yes, I'm saying the Gemara says. Yeah, the Gemara says you don't. A person on an animal does not have to dismount. A pullover, the pullover. For this reason.
But
cost
you,
of
you
a,
said you have to. You
what?
You're saying benching, you have to.
Benching, yes.
Benching,
we said the following. If a person was walking, not driving. Driving, one wouldn't be allowed to do one while driving. Benching, one cannot do while driving. But if one was walking, one could keep on walking. If I ate walking on the side of the road, I could keep on walking and recite the Birchos HaBosk. He was marching as he ate. Suppose he sat down to eat. He wanted to eat like a mensch. So then the halacha states the tzorach l'vorach gam ken v'yeshiva. There is a certain yeshiva to the way we act in this world. There's a Tosfos near the end of the first parak in Kedusha. And there is a contradiction between a Gemara in Kedusha and a Gemara in Shabbos. Which one place it says that the first thing that a person is brought to Mishpat for after Mayav Esrim is Torah, and after that is Nosata Mamuna, that he conducts his business affairs with integrity. And on different Gemara, the Mashma, at first they deal with one's business affairs, and then they come to deal with one's Talmud Torah. So Tosfos says the primary Mishpat, and that's what a person is called to din for first, is the Torah. But when they issue the Piskei Din, when they give the verdict is first given on business and then it's given on the Torah. That's what Tosfos says. So the Shaila is what? We learned right in last week's parsha with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rebbe Rishon, Rishon, Ral Achron Achron. So if we want to answer, give a final verdict on the business verse, so let that be the first part of the Torah. What's the pshat? So the Klosenberger Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha said the pshat is that if one's dishonest, the Torah is the most important thing. But if one's dishonest in his business, then in Shemayim they're not interested in his Torah. That's what the Klosenberger Rebbe said. Well, what's germane to us presently is, I said the following of the pshat. How can one possibly be judged for how much one was supposed to learn in this world? There's so many circumstances which dictate what a person could do, what he couldn't do. It's not so simple to determine. People have responsibilities and distractions. So what really was a person capable of doing? It's very hard to judge what's appropriate, what's correct. So in Shemayim they say, of course Talmud Torah is the most important thing, but how can we possibly judge a person for Talmud Torah? Very simple. First we'll examine his business affairs. How did he conduct his affairs of this world? You know, one guy was a schlepper, a nevach. He couldn't, you know, hold a job, he couldn't earn a living, he couldn't put that for two. He couldn't put one and one together his whole life. Everything went backwards. So if that's how well he was able to function in this world, so how well do we expect his ruchnius? How does his ruchnius supposed to look? Then you have another guy that his whole life, he was a go-getter. Whatever you gave him, whatever circumstance, he just made it happen. So good. So what happened? All of a sudden, your ruchnius is as you went to sleep. I mean, you're a barochi, a man of the world. My brother-in-law, Moshe Kleinman, had a chavrusa once. He was 95 years old, about. He was a boki in Gan Shas. But he was a businessman his entire life. He was a diamond merchant. He happens to be, he found that incidentally, by strange chance, he was the grandfather of someone that lives here someone that lives here in Kigon Hills. So he was a Boki in Ganshas. So he told, it fit for him. He told my brother-in-law, he says, in Shemayim was Bashert, I should be a Gvir, I should be a wealthy man. Why do I say that? He said, I was wealthy before the First World War. He died in 1978. I was wealthy before the First World War, and I lost my money in the First World War. In between the World Wars, I became wealthy again. It was a Polish Jew. And the Second World War came, and I lost my money a second time. He says, I survived the war, and I became a Gvir again. But he lived his life with Torah was of equal proportions. He was a go-getter of business, and he was a go-getter of earnings. You know, he had a gun shot on the fingertips to show for it. So the same is true here. What I mean to bring out is, you're a nervous person. You're on the go. Okay, that's how Loch understands it. So you couldn't sit still for 2 seconds to eat on the go. So you bench on the go too. But when it came to eat, you sat down, you put your feet up, you know, everything's fine. All of a sudden, you finished eating. Ah, it's late, I gotta run. With the Yosha. We have to hold ourselves. What we do for ourselves, that much we have to do for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's mitzvahs too. It shouldn't be less.
If you're on the road, you're eating on the road with the bench while you're walking.
Yeah.
So if you're eating donuts standing up, why can't you say, I will miss this 10 minutes?
We're talking without on the road. When a person's home, even in his house, at least he's supposed to sit down. If he doesn't in his house, that's what the halacha says.
I was comparing, but not exactly.
Because that's why, because it says in one's house, even if one stood or ran around the house while eating, one still has to sit down for bench. So this is, in life, the way we have to judge ourselves. The standard that we have for the Ruchni is the same standard that we have for the Gashmi. Finally, this we already saw some reflections of this before. Also, Lavora for Oisukum Lachta. I know Kol HaBrochas, one may not recite any Brocha while one is involved in anything, and this is Afil Oisum Shem Medir Abonon, Kiluchim Bushamim Kol Dinzeh. Even in brachos, the average bracha, which is totally midrabbanan. It's interesting, there's a shaila in the Gemara. There's one place, just about, where the Gemara actually suggests that, I mean, here we have the example of a person that was walking, may keep on walking, by tefillas haderech, and the Gemara has a shaila for a very interesting reason. What should one do when it comes to Betzias HaPas, when there's a challah? So one has to cut the challah. Let's have a whole challah on a week there, a whole roll. So I'm supposed to recite a mitzvah on a whole roll and cut it afterwards. You start the meal. So the shaila is, at what point should a person cut it? So what we do is we, in the weekdays, we make somewhat of a cut in it, then we make the bracha, then we cut it the rest of the way. Shabbos, we just make a plan, we make a little line on the top. But there's actually a man diomar in the Gemara that says that while he's making the bracha, he should cut it. And the reason for that man diomar is to lessen the hefzik in between the bracha and the actual eating. But that's a very special circumstance, and yet the halacha still does not pass him like that. We do not accept the view of that man diomar.
Yeah. Birkas HaTorah is also a derech.
Yes.
Are the halachas similar?
Yeah, the halachas are quite similar.
You can't interrupt.
I'm not sure. It's a short bracha anyhow, so I don't believe one would have the right. It's the second bracha. But my suspicion is, since it's midrash, it has the same dinam. That's my suspicion.
But is it a series of brachas by Birkas HaTorah? Or is it two separate brachas?
Well, maybe in between the brachas, maybe.
What was the Rebbe code just between the weekday and Shabbos about when? I know on Shabbos you make a little line.
The weekday one's supposed to cut down significantly into it.
Okay.
To lessen the time in between the bracha and the eating. On Shabbos we're concerned, should be able to clarify this. On Shabbos, we're concerned that if a person cuts too far, it won't be a shalit. Now, how do we determine a shalit? It's interesting. There's a machloikis of Rameyan of Yehuda. There's little that escaped the perspective of the halacha. So Rameyan said, I believe it's Rameyan's unit, said that if I pick up the larger piece and the smaller piece comes along with it, that's a shalit. But Yehuda says, to the contrary, pick up the smaller piece. And if the larger piece comes along with it, then it's a shalit. Now, that obviously, if you pick up the smaller piece, you mean a much stronger connection, because the weight of the larger piece is weighing down. It can readily break off. And that's the way we actually pass it. If one has to pick it up at a smaller end. Now, consequently, so if on the weekday I cut it a little too far, and what if I would pick it up at the smaller end, the larger end would break off. So, okay, not the end of the world, so I didn't have a shalom. But the Milo of the Mishnah, I have a shalom, but I didn't have a shalom. But that's not, there's no chiyuv to have a shalom. And Lech HaMishnah, Le'nis L'chatchilo, the chiyuv is to have a shalom. I mean, what we should also, as long as we're talking about it, articulate the fact that if one doesn't have a shalom, one's Yoytzei Lech HaMishnah with two pieces. The din in Shleimus is really a din in covered Havrocha. To cover, to use something which seems to be a shalom. I say seems. It doesn't actually have to be. The halacha states, if the challah, for example, split in half, so I could put a few toothpicks in the middle, paste it, put it back together with that, and as long as it looks like a shalom, I can use it for Lech HaMishnah. Whereas the old Echonim say, if you did that by an estric, if you cut the estric in half and you put it back together, it wouldn't help, because by an estric, you have to have the whole estric. Here, it's, you know, of covet. So as long as it looks like it. There was also a very interesting corollary of that halacha, where Pinchas Epstein, the Chassidic Levracha, was the rival of the Eidah Haredes, circa 1970, the early 1970s. So he has a well-known chiddush in Yerushalayim that if one gets, has, let's say, in Pesach, and you only have broken matzahs. So he said you could take it and singe the edge, and once the edge is singed, so now it looks like a shalom, so it is a din shalom, and you can use it for Lech HaMishnah. So chiddush, the same type of idea.
Can you do that on Yom Tov?
I would think that you could do it on Yom Tov, because it's, yeah. But Tzarech Mitzvah, you could do something on Yom Tov.
Shabbos
you could not do it. No, you couldn't do that Shabbos. At Yom Tov you should be able to do it, because it's the Tzarech Mitzvah. It's necessary for the mitzvah, halachal nefesh, whatever. I mean, I want to, for a mitzvah, to prevent an Easter would also be together, halachal nefesh, perhaps. Or a mitzvah, one of the two. Either of the two categories. I want to set a riot to such a thing.
But a pure ochel nefesh, why couldn't you just that? Really,
well, I don't know if it's ochel. It's not ochel nefesh itself.
Because you're burning
it. I'm not doing it to eat this thing. I'm doing it to make it a shalom. But for the din shabo, in principle, I know I want beyond the purview now, but in principle, I want to set a riot to the site of this din. That for, if it's been done for halachic purposes, it's considered Tzarech Yom Tov. And Rabbi Yosef agreed with me that I was right, because I came to ask him, he told me something, and I came back the next day and I said, the Rav told me this, but there's a raya from this Bais Yosef, you know, not like that. So he said, you're right. But that's not, but the reason that I told you not to do it was not for that reason, it was a totally different reason. So then he clarified where he was coming from. Now I want to end this part. The Nitziv, I believe, writes, and when he used to come to a shvera, the Ritzel of Elozhin, so he used to give him two pieces of challah, just pieces. They had pieces. They gave him two pieces for the Lech HaMishnah. So the Nitziv wants to contend, and I am not convinced that he's correct, in all honesty. I have to tell the truth. Because, you know, maybe I'm mushba, I had an Eluya Shechavah when I was in my mid-teens. So my Eluya Shechava time is like this, and that only Eluyim can look at the world like this. So my Eluya Shechava time is, what happens, you come home on Shabbos, and you don't have any pieces. All you have in the house is one challah. What do you do? So my Eluya Shechava time is, you cut it in half. Now I have two pieces. Because Sholem is only a mile, it's not after the other. Two is the real din, so two is the real deal. So now I have two. So that's what my Luya Shechav was tied to. So the Netziv wants to tie in that you can only use pieces if you didn't actually make the pieces. But if the pieces were made in front of you, if you made them, you actually made the pieces and you saw them being made, then you couldn't do it. That's what he wants to tie in. I'm not, in all honesty, I was not convinced with his riots that he's I'm more noted that my Luya Shechav was correct, in all honesty.
So going back though, so during the week though.
So that's the reason, yeah.
The chachila, it's better to use the whole roll.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't use the chachila sliced bread. I usually make it.
No, this is the slicer. Listen, I didn't say the chachila we shouldn't. It's a minor. The reason we have sliced bread is just easier to live with sliced bread. That's, you know, it's called one of the world's great inventions.
Well, even when you have a whole piece of bread, aren't you supposed to cut it before you make a burger like the one burger?
Whole piece, no, afterwards. After, before you eat.
Before you eat.
But to the contrary,
not before the brother?
The larger the piece, the more chashuv it is for a mitzvah.
If it's partially cut for three.
No, if it's, it's partially cut. But the larger the piece is, the more chashuv it is for a mitzvah. Godel is also a maila. Shalom is a bigger maila.
Like for Purim, Suda, right?
Yes.
Shana,
yes, correct. We're assuming that you have one. If you don't have one, you don't have it. So life goes on.
Yeah, but I could buy rolls rather than sliced bread.
Whatever.
Like sliced bread.
Okay, so that's also. You eat sliced bread.
All right.
Yeah, but if you have it, it's a minor to use it. That's all. It's also, it's worthwhile. If you're making a sandwich, for example, cut it, not to cut it all the way through.
Uh-huh.
You know, to cut it, you know, three quarters of the way. Just
cut,
you know,
cut the sandwich.
Cut. In other words, let's say you're making a lebras sandwich on a roll.
Oh, on a roll.
So it's kedai not to cut it all the way through.
Well, wouldn't it be better just to leave the whole, make the broth?
Oh, let's say, or sometimes you want to make a sandwich before you want to put whatever, the cheese or whatever it is, the fish in before you go to work.
But if you were home, would you say you should really make the
broth
and don't make the sandwich?
But if you go,
you have a sandwich. You're going to eat a thing. You made a sandwich to eat.
So I said
on two slices of bread.
So good. So fine. So just make a moti and eat.
Make a moti and eat. You don't have to cut anything.
Maybe it would be better.
It would not, according to the Armin Hogan, or what we consider correct.
People very often cut a sandwich in half, so maybe it's better to eat.
We're very un-European. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch happens to be like European etiquette better than he likes American etiquette. That's the truth. You know, in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a halacha that one may not supposed to bite off of a piece of bread. One's supposed to break off a little piece and put it in one's mouth. Now, among Europeans, if they serve you an apple or a pear, you don't dare pick it up to bite it. That would, you know, forget about it. That's a total breach of all etiquette. They give you a plate and a knife and you cut little pieces from it.
As a child, old people cut fruit.
That's it. Among Europeans, that's the way they serve it. You know.
So
when you cut a piece, if you had a roll, you cut it almost in half, and leave a little bit. What is it? It's still.
As long as you could pick it up from each side, it wouldn't break.
What's the mile
of it? It's a shalom.
It's considered shalom even if it's not shalom.
It's shalom.
It's more than.
It doesn't make it, as long as you can pick it up from each side and it doesn't break off. So it's shalom.
It's considered shalom.
Yeah. The mile of a shalom. That's also why it's chasanah. Now they started to change it, which is also strange. It's the problem. If one grabs at things without understanding the basis of them, so one winds up trading Cadillacs for bicycles. There's a Ramah that has a Chumrah, which I would say is widely unobserved. The Ramah writes that one shouldn't walk to have more than an amount of time of 22 amos in between
washing
and making the Birchas Hamazon. If you make a cheshbon, it's somewhere about 15 seconds. Something like that. Now, consequently, it's not very practical in most cases, unless you're eating by yourself. Eating with your family, it's certainly going to take longer.
Right.
So, at Chasen, if they decided, oh, they're going to be mezaken around and put little pieces of bread. But what they forgot is one thing, that to make a broch on a sholem is a ma'il amidin of the gemara. And this is merely a chumra of the Ramah. So whenever they did that, I wouldn't take one of those pieces. I went to the table and took a whole challah roll. Why should I trade in the Ramah's chumra for a din when I can be mekayim a din of the shulchan, a din of something which is midin of the gemara?
Now they serve a little
hole. Now they started, yeah. They.
What happens if you're in a different, if you wash in a different room than where you're going to eat?
It doesn't make a difference. No, that does not make a difference.
Is there any seed to see where you're going to look at where you're eating?
I don't think
when you
so.
Make the broth?
I do not. On the Tillis you die? No. I don't know.
I have a benching mamakam.
I'll be on the Tillis you die.
Benching mamakam wouldn't override that.
What?
Benching and eating the place. Mamish the place? I mean, is in...
With no bride what?
Washing, not walking the 15 hours. In 15 seconds.
No, however, as long as you will see, as long as you continue eating where you're going to, it's not a problem.
Excellent.
Oh. Now, yeah, we're gonna, so now, let's take a look. This is an important halacha. This is Siman Kuf Pei Dalet. A person that ate in one place. He has to recite the Birchas HaMazon before he leaves that spot. And suppose he left that spot and he didn't make a bracha. So he says, if he did this willfully, he has to go back to where he came from. And we're going to see, even if this is a lengthy distance, he has to go back. Yivorach. But if he made the bracha where he actually remembered, that's not l'chatchilo, and even though he's supposed to go back, but if he didn't go back, it's yotzo. Then the Ramah is, this is v'dafka l'dasa Rambam, this is true. Aval l'dasa Rosh, the sfer l'daf b'shoyge yachso l'makayman, the Rambam said, "V'meizer is yachsul l'makomo." The Rosh says, "Even b'shoygeg, if I made a mistake and I left, I forgot that I hadn't benched. For example, I was unaware that I hadn't benched and I left, and then I realized the af b'shoygeg yachsul l'makomo lechatchila, then b'meizer after the yevad lo yotzer. One's was not even yotzer if one leaves the spot. B'meizer. V'moyer b'shoygeg leharambam yivorach ma'okum sheniska." So according to the Rosh, one always has to go back. And the Daf Kamina is, according to him, that if it's a Shoigeg, at least I'm Yotze B'Dievet where I went. And B'Mezer, I'm not even Yotze B'Dievet. But according to the Rambam, only B'Mezer is the requirement to go back. And then I'm Yotze B'Dievet. And B'Shoigeg, I don't even have to go back. Now let's do Siv Beis. Then we'll do the parish of the Chavetz Chaim. Amed Vormurum Kishayin Lo Pas Eid. He doesn't have any more bread. He's finished. Avol Yesh Lo Pas Eid. Supposing he can get another piece of bread. Yoichal Vomokum Hasheni Ma'at. Eat even a little bit. It doesn't have to be a Kazayit. Even a little bit in the second place. Vivorech and recite the Brocha there. Vakshalo Yeroiv Me'achila Rishayin. As long as he didn't fully digest and become hungry again from the first time that he ate. So since he ate here, this is also bracha chorinav m'kayma, where he ate. Koydim shiyaka, before one leaves the place, one has to bench. And we pina lapina from one side of a room to another, afilu abayas godl, no matter how large the room is, mutter, it's still mutter. Afilu kishayin roya m'kayma arishin. If you go to the armory where the satmas have the sudha saidah, 10,000 people sitting there in one room. I mean, you can go so far away that you probably need binoculars to see the other place where you started. Still yaitse. You're on a choreya paravan, a choyaitse, I think it means behind the screen. Suppose there's some problem why he can't bench in the room in which he ate. So the halacha is mutal of work b'chedesh somachlo. And yachal liros b'kaimash ochal, if he can see the place that he ate from. In Daidoy Vashas, Birchot Amrit, the work of the Cheder Achav Abayezeh, and suppose initially he planned to bench in a different room, after the Yishloch of Vashas Adchak. For example, go to Shemok Mashochal, in a Noki, the work Shom, it's filthy, it's not a place that he can recite a Brocha. If you know, in a Rome, Rome, Mekoma Harishan, even if he had, they can't see the first place. Mima Kaimoy, Bechol Dalar Amos, Mimokam Achilos, Choshe Mokam Echot. If it's within four amas, it's certainly considered his place. Even though he doesn't have any significant reason for it, some minor, very minor reason within Dalet Amas, there's certainly no problem moving. Yachsar l'makayimai. So if he left the place and he knew he hadn't been, he should go back. He traveled a good number of miles already. Unless it reached such a stage, by the time he travels back, he'll digest the food, he won't be able to bench anymore. Then it's Yivorech Khan. So then he should recite the Brocha where he is. But if he, now he still didn't go back, he's Yoytze, I know, I feel the Hoya Mezid Vakiroso. Even if he knew when he left that he hadn't benched, he happens to notice then in the Shulchan Aruch that if you left when you were aware you hadn't benched, you have to go back. But his Atul was then, he was just too lazy to do it. Nevertheless, he's still Yotze B'diyevet. And all this is L'das HaRambam, Ratzalam, but it's really B'somach, the Bishog Yigav B'chadchil, Yechol Yivorach Mokom Shaniska. The Rambam says that I thought I benched and I left, so wherever I remember, I'm allowed to bench. That's the Rambam's view. So the Ramezin at least should be one step more chomer than that, so we should have to go back. According to the view of the Rosh, that even B'shoyi would have to go back. It would seem that the Ramezin should be even another step more chomer. It's not enough to go back if you had to have the Yevon Yosef if you didn't go back. Well, in your halacha, skimu achanin den tzorch lachsa levorach, if you look at balicha v'brocha, then even b'mezid, one could rely upon the view of the Rambam, and one does not have to bench again. Now, if he was a shoygei, if you work v'mokam sh'nizkar, v'kamokam gam l'deyazu, v'mchozar reza m'shubach. It may not be a chiyah to go back to shoygei, but it's certainly preferable. Eladeyna b'choye b'davar, it's not obligatory. Yachso l'mekayme v'vorach, he should go back to where he was, and make a bracha. This is what a person should do in Lo Shushas Otchak. So it means, in other words, Lichat Chila, that one should follow the Rosh, and even if he left B'shoigeg, he should go back. But if it's too difficult, then it should be Samech on the Rambam and make a bracha where he is B'shoigeg. Yerucho B'mokom Hasheini. Even if one willfully left the first place, it's enough Shiyochan can pass over more. We wouldn't have to recite the Birchas HaMoitzi. In other words, he decided, I guess, to go off and eat somewhere, to one other place and to eat. So he can do that. So this will suffice. In other words, he didn't have a real Hesach Hadas. He just like, he ran off in the middle. He just forgot what he was doing. You know, he forgot he was eating. He forgot everything. He didn't have a Hesach Hadas. He got busy with something and he ran off. So then if he remembers, so he can eat without a bracha, Rishayna, and then bench where he is. Ma'at, Hanafil pochas mikazayas. You don't even need a kazayas. This is very, very important.
Bread?
Yeah, the become where that he eats in the second place.
Bread.
The bread, yeah. The become mokum starves ala chila shokum and mokum rishon because it adds on to what he ate in the first place. Or we were talking, he ate a kazayas in the first place. Otherwise, it wasn't mechayev to bench. This is important that one can eat, has to eat pas in the second place. Avu paperes, snacks, the kistin, or snacks made from mezainas, a cake items, betzadim from megolin, the filo kazayas lomhani. That would not count. To consider the continuation of the meal. But it's actually a roev. The muroev, if he's hungry, the mahani mashal yochal ato. It won't help but eat. Now the God hims said, "Birchas Hamazon shalachil rishayin." As we learned last week, Birchas Hamazon is gone. Where she calls it b'sefei. Va'atu chiyev chodosh, and now he has a new chiyev. But tzorach l'vorach kam Birchas Hamazon because the meal in effect ended. There's no shaychus with the meal that was going on before. So. Yeah. in summation, we sort of did it that we have to be very, very careful about a hefsek. That a hefsek in Birkas HaMazon is the equivalent of a hefsek in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So that's a tremendous musa to realize that. And that one should always sit by Birkas HaMazon unless one was eating as one was walking along the road. But otherwise, one should always sit. Certainly, Ba'al HaMichya, one should sit. And if one left the place where he benched, even B'Shayyeh, B'Chatzilah, he should go back. Unless it's too difficult to keep his Samach on the Rambam. And if he benched in a different place, B'Mezer, according to the Rosh, is not Yotze. According to the Rambam, is Yotze B'Di'evet. And with Mekel B'Di'evet, that if I change places knowing that I had benched, and I realize I'm supposed to go back, and I still don't go back, because at least B'Di'evet I am Yotze. But it also tells us how careful we have to be not to leave the place where we bench. And finally, if I did leave the place where I bench, and what I can do is eat at least a little bit more bread in the new place, the chatzilo, and then recite the Birkas HaMazon in the new place, and that would void the obligation to go back.
You don't have to have kavanah. I feel like the Rosh said in the past that this thing in the new place, you have to have kavanah ritually
that you shouldn't leave the first place if you didn't have kavanah. But if you left, you left. Unless you change place, you have to have kavanah l'chatzilo. That only you shouldn't change places if you didn't have kavanah l'chatzilo. That's the Ramon Kufayim Chet.
If you didn't have kavanah l'chatzilo, then you
should not move. Yeah, but let's say you didn't. You moved already. That's it.
So then, Bibi Evan, you could just make a bracha there. You want it, the best l'chatzilo is if you have a little bit of bread and drop the bread in the new place.
Yes.
And something I would often add, I just want to confirm, because I think I have one thing to do, but I wash. I'm very often, most often wash for a meal. So I think this makes it easier that if I have to run out of the virus, I can come back.
What you should do is two things. One is make sure you had a kazayim when you run out. Secondly, when you wash, you should have in mind that you may have to run out.
Right.
Then you don't have to make a move wrong.
The fact that you wash is easy, makes it easier to run out and come back and just pick up the water.
Yeah,
whereas if you just made
certainly if you hadn't made a mezonos, the mezonos is the same thing.
Ready. Sorry, I'm going to get in trouble.
Tchila is not considered a hefsek.
So the katchila, if you have in mind, let's say if you have in mind that you might have to leave in the middle, then that's fine. If you have in mind, that's the katchila fine. Yeah.
Rabbi Rosser, next week, benching or
leave it to Kiddush.
I saw the sheet from this newsletter. I saw the sheet from this newsletter from this guy. I don't know. And the rules of Kiddush, I'm going to bring it in because I'll be surprised if Rav holds like all the things that this guy was teaching. We'll see. A lot of, you have to do the water and the top. You know how important it is.